Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. When two young people have the urge for a late night snack, the idea of having a paranormal encounter was the furthest thing from their minds, especially when one of them has a sudden urge to leave the road they are traveling down. It would turn out to be a turn that saved their lives. We hear that story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show and you want even more, you want like all the bonus episodes that have some of our best stories on, we release those once a week to our EPPs, Extra Podcast People is what that stands for. You get access to our those new ones every week and the whole archive of like 400 some now, as well as all of our archive of episodes, the latest episodes and all of it ad-free. No commercials. You can just stream away, no ads, and it's only $5 a month. Get it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories or search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
I just got back from a vacation. Took like 4 days and went on vacation, which the last time I had vacation was exactly 1 year ago.
Okay, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so my friend Sandy, who I do another podcast with, came out. Her and her husband visited from New York State. Mm-hmm. And we decided to go up to Door County in Wisconsin, which, you know, that's just something you do every summer anyway in Wisconsin as a way to get away.
It's in Door County, for anybody who's not from the area. It's Wisconsin's kind of like a mitten, you know, and it's kind of got like a thumb that goes out into the lake. It's that part. It's that part that sticks out into the lake.
Yep. And it's where all the rich people go over the summer and stay up there and spend mm-hmm. a lot of money and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But we went up because the way Sandy and I met was actually because she watched a TV show that was on Prime Video called Haunted State that I was a part of. Mm-hmm. And so she became a friend of mine because she watched it. And so we decided this summer we were going to go back up to Door County where we had originally started that series mm-hmm. and visit a lot of the places that we did investigations at for the TV show and kind of do our own investigations. So it was a lot of fun. And I actually went to a location that I said I would never go to again.
Yeah.
And that was Washington Island. I said I would never return.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did for the day and everything turned out to be great. But we had a tons of really good investigative stuff go on and we still have to go through audio and stuff like that. But you kind of know when you're doing an investigation how it's going.
Sure.
And for whatever reason, this is really our first time investigating other than when we went to Ed Gein's grave last year. and it went really, really well. So I think that in the future, if we do some of that kind of stuff, we're going to have a really good rapport with investigating.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. So, I mean, what were some of the places that you, you said Washington Island. Now, why did you not like Washington Island the first time?
Well, because when I came back from that investigation, we stayed overnight for a couple of nights and investigated a couple of locations. When I came back, it was not good. It felt like something had attached itself to me.
Okay. Yeah.
That was. And then later on down the road, I find out that the rest of the crew also had similar things happen with them. So I originally thought to myself, I would never.
That's interesting because your mic like never ever breaks out and you're but right when you were saying I would then all of a sudden it like it cut for a second and then it came back.
Well, maybe something has followed me back again.
Something's like you're not going to say this. You're not going to say you're never coming back.
It's the Door County group of people of the promotion department in Door.
And it happened again.
That.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, we should change the subject. Okay, so when you were up there this weekend, how'd it go? Like, anything stand out to you?
One thing that was really cool, we went to Kena Island Lighthouse, and that is a location that I've always loved in my life. I love lighthouses. Mm-hmm. And we had investigated there, and some cool stuff took place there. I actually think, besides some other people, I actually think that I communicated with my mom at the lighthouse.
Really?
Yeah, I had a feeling going into it that I was going to be able to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And at one point, we were just getting ready to leave, and we put out our equipment, and I just said, is there anybody that would like to speak with us?
Yeah.
And we got some response, and I said, Mom, is that you? And it went on from there.
No kidding.
And yeah, it was, I even was making fun of Sandy, which is what I do all the time on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I said to my mom, I said, you probably think she's kind of a Looney Tune, right? And it was just like my mom was laughing. The equipment was going off like crazy. So
that is
we have to listen to the audio on it. We don't know if we caught any audio. We do have video that we have to go over, and we've got, you know, some other stuff, but I can't wait to find out if we get any audio from my mom. That'd be great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't wait to hear what you find out, or what you hear here. That's awesome. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I just thought it was kind of interesting in the headlines where it was talking about people running out for a late night snack and running into like horror or terror or something, because I immediately thought of, do you remember when Little Richard did the Taco Bell commercials?
Yes.
He was freaky. He had the freakiest eyes in those. He was like crazy for tacos. He was like, Taco Bell! And it's like, if you looked at him like long enough, like I think you could have become possessed. You can Google it, Little Richard Taco Bell commercials. He's like flying down the road on a back of a semi or something, playing his piano. And it was those commercials frightened me.
They were freaky. They were freaky.
So I was thinking late night snack, and Little Richard, like you walk into the Taco Bell and there's nobody there, and you go to sit down, and all of a sudden like Little Richard looks up at you from the booth across with those eyes and the hair. Is Little Richard dead now? I think he is.
I have no idea. I would guess he probably is.
That's one of those, like, I thought they were already dead when they actually die. Let's see. I want to say he did die.
Let's see. No, he's still alive. No, that's right. 2020 in Tennessee.
He died. Okay. Yep. He is gone. Yeah, that would be. Or the ghost of Little Richard at a Taco Bell. Now,
and of course, he's sitting there singing Tutti Frutti and Long Tall Sally and Good Golly, Miss Molly.
Oh, that would be creepy. Back to our conversation in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Crime Salad. Add a little crouton, a little ranch, and it is utterly delicious. Trust me. It's actually a podcast. It's been around since 2019, and it's a husband and wife team that hosts it, and it's really good. One of the ones I recently listened to, the episode titled COVID Alibi, dives into the brutal murder of Gretchen Anthony. It happened in March of 2020, right at the beginning of COVID. Her family began to become concerned when the last text anyone received from Gretchen said she was being transported to a CDC COVID site and would be placed on a ventilator, unable to communicate. After a well check at her home by law enforcement, it became clear that someone was using COVID as an alibi to cover up a horrific crime. We knew this sort of crap would happen, and it did, and now we're looking back on it. Join Crime Salad as they examine the abduction and captivity of three girls in Cleveland. It's a story that's both heartbreaking and inspiring while highlighting the human condition and the will to survive. It's titled Vanishings Part 1 and 2. They cover all the cases and true crime tales that we're all craving to learn about. If any of these stories intrigue you, I recommend checking out Crime Salad on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And I think we'll start this one out with a call. Let's jump over to that and hear your ghost story. Hi.
Hi, my name is Felipe Sanchez out of Dallas, Texas. I want to share my story. I be telling my friends my story, and they freak out about it. It was on a summer night. Me and my son, we were coming back from the store, and my kids were playing outside, and I opened up the door, and all the lights in the house are off. So I converted my garage into a room. So I walked through the living room, went straight to my room, which is a converted garage, and I turned on the lights. So that's the only lights that was on there. in the house is my room. And I put the stuff, you know, on my bed. My son put his stuff on the bed too. And when we both started to walk out that same the door going into my living room, you could see in my kitchen, there's a hallway going to the back of the room. So I got a 3-bedroom house. So when I, me and my son both were walking towards the door, and as we both walked to the door, and it, like I said, it's completely dark in there, we see a silhouette ghost-like figure come out of the kitchen through there and go up the hallway towards the rooms. And I saw it, but I didn't want to scare my son. And we both stopped when I saw it. And I looked at my son, and my son looks at me, and he tells me, "Did you see that?" And I asked him, "You saw it too?" He's like, "Yeah." So I kind of didn't want to scare him. So I'm like, "Oh, it's probably one of the kids that came in the house and went to the back of the room, to the rooms." So I go towards back outside where the kids were playing. And I asked the kids, "Is anybody in the house?" And they're like, "No, Dad, nobody's in there." I'm like, "Well, somebody's in there, because me and my son just saw something walk towards the back of the room, towards the rooms." So I go back in the house and turn on the lights in the living room. And then I start walking towards the hallway, towards the kitchen, and turn on that light, the kitchen light. There's nothing there. I walk towards down the hallway, turn on the hallway lights. There's nothing there. I go to all three rooms and turn on all the lights, and nobody was there. And just kind of like freaked me out. The hair back of my neck stood up, and my son was like looking at me, and I could tell him that you're just seeing things, because we both saw it at the same time, you know. And so next day I went to my brother-in-law's house, which he lived two houses down, and I explained to him, took my son with me, and I explained to him, I said, "Hey, this is what happened to us." And I told him the story, and he told me, "Well, you do know that the owner of the house died in that house before you bought it." And I'm like, "No, I did not know that." And so he told me to describe her, and described that person. You could tell it was a short, maybe like 5'6", little petite looking shadow, about 100 to 110 pounds. And I mean, the silhouette, you can see the silhouette just come out of the kitchen into the hallway, go back towards the rooms and stuff. And he said, "You just described that lady that died in that house." And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Yep." He says, people used to live there, they rented the house, and they used to hear stuff too. And and then one time I was in one of the rooms in the back, one of the rooms in my bedroom, and I had my kids there. They were sleeping on my bed, and they were little. One was 10. Yeah, my son is 10, and my daughter was like 7. And I was asleep, and my feet were hanging off the bed. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm a heavy sleeper. And all of a sudden, I feel like a finger touch the bottom of my foot, like somebody scraped their finger on my foot, the bottom of my foot. And it just woke me up like that. And I got up and I turned around and everything was dark. We had a little nightlight, you know, down at the bottom. And but the freaky part was that nobody was around. And I felt somebody put their finger on my foot and just go down, like, tickle me. And that was something that really freaked me out. But I was one of those ones that didn't believe in ghosts, you know, until I see it, I believe it and stuff. And a lot of people say that they saw something in the corner of their eye, you know, but I'm like saying, well, you know, your eyes play tricks on you and stuff a lot. But after me and my son experienced that and I felt that little finger touch the bottom of my foot that woke me up, and I'm a true believer now, but I just wanted to call in and tell you my story. What you call it?
And then he kind of wraps it up. I think anytime you just kind of by there yourself and like there's a finger touching the bottom of your foot, it's creepy, especially if you look down and then all of a sudden like the head of little Richard rises up wearing the Taco Bell outfit and he throws a burrito at you or something. That would be even more freaky.
I would never let a human being touch my foot, let alone a ghost. The minute that happened, I'd be so gone. First of all, I'd like probably burn down the house or something like that. And then I'd be gone because nobody touches my feet.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't like that. That's, I just not a big that person. It's just kind of creepy. I don't know. I don't get how people like in any way, shape or form like that. So, yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our letter here. It says it was the summer of 2012 here in Fort Worth. I was hanging out all day with my best friend, who's practically my brother at that point. We always talked about random political, religious, anime, or paranormal things. We constantly switch between topics, never actually completing a full category. We've been outside since about 10 a.m. at this point, and headed to my parents' place to play some Xbox. Fast forward a few hours, it was now about 9 p.m. and dark finally. We left my house to go back out and grab some more food and then go to his house to spend the night and play some Magic the Gathering. As we were on the way to Jack in the Box for some tacos, we were talking in his car. I remember the time on his car clock showing 9:08. We were coming up near a side road where I heard a male voice in my ear saying, "Don't turn there." I was confused because it wasn't my friend, as he was going on and on about our current debate over a character in a story. Immediately after the voice, I got a shiver down my spine and a sense of pure dread and fear. I looked at my friend and interrupted him, saying, "Hey man, let's just take the next turn, skip the one coming up, okay?" He asked me why this, though I said this, since this turn was the fastest way. Immediately, I retorted back almost rudely, "Just do it, okay, please?" So he said, "All right," questioningly, and we took the turn after. We got to the Jack in the Box, got the food, and headed to his place. Got in, started eating and playing with our cards. He asked me what was wrong in the car, and I simply said I just had a bad feeling and thanked him for trusting me. We played until about 4 a.m. and passed out. The next morning, we awoke to a call from my mom, who does volunteer patrolling for our neighborhood. She said that she heard on the police radio that night before there was a murder. Apparently, someone was shot through their car window from the outside as the car was coming down a side road. Would you believe it? It was the same side road that I was told not to turn down. The time the police arrived at the scene was 9:20. My mom told me, they said the murder had probably only happened about 10 minutes prior, putting the murder at about 9:10. The voice in my ear saved us that night, only 2 minutes before that murder was to occur. Needless to say, me and my friend both were completely freaked the hell out. That would be freaky to have that that voice say that to you. I think what would be torturous about it is if I had one that was right about something like that. I've never had that experience where it was that powerful of an intuition, like before I even like went down a road or something. I can get vibes from people, but I've never had it like that. But if I did have a situation like that, I think then I would be freaking out over everything because I think the voice in my head, even though it wouldn't be that same one, my mind would just start fucking with me and being like, here's that voice again and telling me, don't turn that way. Don't turn this way. And then it would be a mess.
Yeah. And, you know, the big question for me is like, was there really a voice? Was it just intuition or did some sort of being or entity reach out to you and actually say it? Either way, if this story is actually true, that he had that intuition or he had that voice and the murder took place around the same time, I don't know. How do you go through life living your life the same way you always did with all the belief systems and everything? How do you not take a step back and kind of reevaluate everything you do in life?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it kind of depends what your belief system is at that moment. I mean, maybe you do believe in those sort of things already and you just had a great example of one. Maybe you didn't believe in those sort of things and maybe it even conflicts with a belief system. Then I think that would be the more difficult path to take of, you know, what was that? And I think a lot of people don't even go down the path because it's just too scary. And they'll just write it off as like, well, it was a coincidence. You know, it was weird, you know, but that's where they leave it. They don't want to examine it further because it encroaches too much on a comfortable space that they believe they've been in forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be, I would certainly listen to the voice if it did happen though, but I can't say I've ever had one quite like that. You?
I think, you know, I'm pretty open to a lot of stuff, but if something like that happened, I would really have to evaluate everything in my life.
But don't
you? Like, I think I would have to find God or some kind of religion and praise somebody and ask for forgiveness for all the bad things I've done in life.
Well, maybe that'll happen someday. I I don't even know that it needs to be, you know, in a religious standpoint of anything. I think it's more like, I mean, I guess it could, but I just think it's more kind of the universe, the world, whatever you want to call it. You know, I think there's some sort of purpose and some sort of scheme out here. I don't know exactly what it is, but yeah, it would be one of those moments of like, well, what was that?
Right.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do a phone call at 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey guys, what's going on? So this next one isn't like the other paranormal events I've had in my life. I believe that it was a dark entity. Some might think it was just a dream, but here it goes. So I was in college in a dorm and with a girl at the time. And, you know, when we're in our early 20s, we get feelings of restlessness, right? It's why the Army takes them young, right? They just want to point that at something. But I was just feeling restless. I was happy. I was playing football, right? Had the girl, all these things, right? But it just, something just wasn't right. And in a lot of ways, it could have followed me, I think, from where I grew up as a kid, told the story of growing up in a haunted house and paranormal things always being attached to me. People talk about attachments. Was it, was it infestation? Was it attachment? I don't know. But I woke up one night, and this is an old dorm, so there isn't central air in the common areas, and it's a hot Indiana night. It's probably, you know, 85, 90 degrees outside with 80% humidity. And I crawl over and crawl out of bed and close the heavy steel door behind me and make my way down the dimly lit hallway to the men's shower room and bathroom. And there's no door, right? There's just a left turn and a left turn for privacy. And it was one of those old school, you know, common area dorm room showers with the little tiny half inch by half inch tile on the floor and on the ceilings. And there's no light because obviously, people are sleeping, but you kind of use the exit sign light outside the bathroom and then the emergency hallway lights to kind of make your way towards the stalls in the wall. So I do that and there's an old light outside buzzing, right? So you can imagine it's dark, it's hot, it's dimly lit. You can hear this constant buzzing. Occasionally the light kind of flickers on, flickers off, as old lights do. So I make my way to the sink, on the wall, and there's just a small mirror, and I look at my own reflection. And so, you know, when you look at your own reflection in a dimly lit bathroom when it's 100 degrees outside and it's midnight and you're tired and you're weary and you stare. And I don't know if anyone else has done this, but sometimes you sort of wonder if you stare long enough, will something in the mirror change? Will it morph? Would a little smirk come from your reflection back from you, even though you're not smiling? And just that feeling of restlessness, that heaviness, you know, my shoulders were tight, everything, you know, you're playing football, you're lifting weights, you're constantly sore, right? So you, that stress of college and, you know, the stuff on your neck, and you stare back at yourself, and I could feel the heat blowing on the back of my neck from the open window, and I can hear the buzzing, and I can see the flickering light, and I'm staring, and something inside me just it just wanted to fight. So in my head, and I'll save the expletives, but in my head I start daring something to show itself. Come on, show yourself. Come on, you coward, you blank coward, show yourself. And my vision narrows, and I feel the heat, and I hear the buzzing. Now the buzz is getting louder, right? And now the lights are flickering. And did I do a lot of drugs and a lot more alcohol back then? Sure, but not this night. It was a Sunday. School was the next day, and I'm staring at myself, and my eyes get wider, and I grit my teeth, and I grab this sink as hard as I could. I felt like I could literally rip it off the wall. I'm a big guy, 390, right? 6'4", and I'm staring at myself, at my shirtless self in the mirror, and the mirror is staring back, and I'm staring, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs in my head for just whatever's been following me, whatever's there in the dark when I'm alone, whatever is making me angry and anxious. If it would just show itself, show yourself. If you're real, if there is a devil, show yourself. Come on, coward, show yourself. And then I'm on the other side of the mirror. I can feel the mirror behind me, but now I'm staring down a long hallway. The hallway looks like it can go on forever. But then a little boy appears, and he's shirtless, and he's got jeans on, and his shoulders are hunched, and he's staring down at the floor, and his hair is long enough to sort of go past his eyebrows so you can't see the eyes. And I'm staring at him, and he stares at the floor, and I'm staring at him, and I know that in front of me is what's been following me all these years. The tall thing in the mirror, the thing in the corner of your eye, the thing that makes you violent, that thing, and I'm staring at it. And then I yell at the top of my lungs, look me in the eye, you coward. And slowly the thing's head raises back to center, and the hair still kind of stays in its eyes, but it's looking at me, and I'm looking at it, and I clench my fists, and it clenches its fists, and I could feel the heat. I could still hear the buzzing light behind me on the other side of the mirror, and I don't look back. I can just feel it, and I'm staring at it, and it's staring at me, but it's cold. I could feel the back of me is freezing, is burning, and the front of me, I could see my breath. And I'm heaving because I'm pissed, and it's heaving because it's pissed. And I can't see its eyes, but I can see its hair. And then it screams, but I can't hear it. And I scream, but I can't hear it. And we start running at each other. And just when we would literally crash into each other, my buddy tapped me on my shoulder. Like, hey, man, what's going on? You okay? And I was kind of startled and a little bit embarrassed. You know, I'm out of breath and I'm standing in front of this mirror. You know, it's probably, you know, I'd probably be, you know, who knows how long I'd been there. You know, I went in there about midnight, but the lights are all on and there are people outside. And I'm like, hey man, what's going on? He's like, yeah, you okay? Aren't you late for class? You know, I had a 7 a.m. Japanese class and it's 6:30 in the morning. I'd been standing in front of that mirror for almost 6 hours. Well, shortly after that, some things changed in my life and I got some perspective and I got healthier. But that's just a story of, I don't know what it is. Maybe it was real. Maybe it wasn't. But it definitely shaped my idea of what's on the other side. But hey, everybody have a great day. Thank you.
So do you think it was ghostly or like a drug-induced trip that kind of, you know, expanded his mind in some way, shape, or form?
Well, it could be both, right? I mean, I'm a firm believer that drugs and addiction and all that kind of stuff feeds into paranormal and vice versa and all that kind of stuff. I will say this, on an average day, I would not stand in a mirror and try to, you know, challenge any evil entities out there. I wouldn't do it. You couldn't pay me enough to do that kind of thing.
You should do it with a second mirror in front of you so you create that vortex effect.
Great. I with my luck, I'd end up like in a really bad situation someplace. So yeah, I would. I just think challenging energies and entities is just a really, really bad idea. When I see people like Zach Bagans doing it on Ghost Adventures and stuff, it gives people the wrong impression of how to deal with this stuff. So
I cringe.
Don't do that.
I cringe.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know the guy at all. I've never liked his way of presenting things, and I just cringe. I think there's a lot of good people out there that are on television that are doing really interesting work. I feel like that's like the Price is Right version of, you know, ghost hunting shows.
And the Drew Carey version of the Price is Right, yes. Not the Bob Barker version.
No, it's the ones like, okay, it's the Price is Right. You still got Plinko, but come on. Yeah. I know. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It's all commercial free and a whole bunch more. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.